Welcome back to the Anamkara Energy Healing Podcast. My name is Simon, and I'm delighted in this episode to introduce a friend of mine, Kurt Rowe, who is going on a modern pilgrimage. He's walking the entire route from Winchester to Canterbury, the Pilgrim's Way, and I've been out to walk some of that with him and interview him about the whole idea of a modern pilgrimage. Now, Kurt was inspired by Rupert Sheldrake's wonderful book, Science and Spiritual Practices. And Rupert explains how we were once hunter-gatherers and we would move from place to place as we needed to find different food in different seasons. And then stone circles came along and the idea of going on a journey for a spiritual reason started to come up. And then, of course, churches came along, cathedrals were built, people started going to cathedrals on a journey. It started to become where people had a spiritual realization. Now, this has became very popular, in the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages in medieval times, and distilled in Chaucer's wonderful book, The Canterbury Tales. And that's all about a group of pilgrims who go on a journey to Canterbury along the Pilgrim's Way to the shrine of Thomas à Becket. And people started going to visit shrines, and the whole notion of pilgrimage started to grow, and the idea was that the journey, and indeed the suffering on the journey, would lead to a spiritual realization on the journey, and then when you've got to the place that you were traveling to. Now, Kurt is not doing it quite at that level of spiritual realization, but nonetheless, things, you know, even in the early days of the pilgrimage that he's doing, have started sort of bubble and come up for him. So we started a conversation which covered sort of the health benefits of going on a journey in nature. And it's a very beautiful route that he's doing. I mean, I've walked part of it with him and it's stunningly beautiful as you walk from Hampshire into Surrey along the North Downs. And then, you know, as you cross over into Kent, it's a beautiful route full of wonderful vistas. And we get to talk about the landscape. And we talk about the energetics of the landscape in the conversation in this episode. Kurt's something of a follower of Feng Shui, the Chinese practice of bringing energetics of nature into a building. And so we were out in the landscape and you begin to see where the inspiration for that comes from. We also talked about the spectrum of emotions that he's gone through to inspire him to, you know, get off the couch, put his pack on his back, pack all his things he needs for 2 weeks and go off on a 140-mile journey. So I think you'll find this quite interesting, and who knows, it might even inspire you to go on your own pilgrimage. And as he explains, that could be for a day, a few days, a week. It doesn't have to be a couple of weeks and it doesn't have to be done in a foreign country. It's something you can do quite easily at home. There are lots of walks you can do. They don't necessarily end in a cathedral, but this whole idea of picking a destination and walking there over a period of time, it's a very interesting thing to contemplate. Now, before we get into the interview, I just want to say that the first 5 minutes of the interview, the wind was actually blowing a little bit, and there is some sound quality. There are some sound quality problems, and there's a bit of blustering on the microphone from the wind noise. So if you just stick with it for a little bit, it does actually calm down. And we did do several interviews at different places along the route. So just if you allow that sound quality at the start, believe me, it will get better. And it's a conversation well worth listening to. We're sitting under an oak tree on the Pilgrim's Way. Just started, not too far from Winchester. I'm sitting here with Kurt. And we've stopped to have a bite to eat and just taking the wonderful view down to the River Itchen. And I thought we might just have a chat about why you're doing this pilgrimage.
Yeah, I guess I'll probably be able to give you a better answer at the end. I, for many, many moons, have been really interested in ontology. And that has led to very extensive spiritual and philosophical study and practice. And then, not so long ago, I was reading a book by Rupert Sheldrake, Spirituality and Science, I think it's called. And in it, he lists 7 examples of practices that can be essentially good for the soul, whether you're religious, philosophical or not. And one of them was pilgrimage. And I thought, wow, great, I've never done a pilgrimage. And so partly the bucket list thing came into that. And here I am, and that's a very broad initial why.
Great. Well, it's brought us out into this lovely bit of Hampshire countryside, and you're going to go through some very beautiful places and along a very old, very ancient trackway. Is that part of the draw of this?
Very much so. So, you know, sometimes when people say to you, how would you describe yourself? I almost always don't bother. And then very occasionally I'll say I feel like a child of the corn. You know, I had hippie parents, and so what comes with that for me is a fascination with nature, geography, history, architecture, and so on. And yeah, there's a sort of egoic part of you that feels I'd like to walk in the footsteps of spirits, ancient peoples that once walked these arteries of England, you know. And because I, as you know, predominantly cultivate Taoist philosophy, as that's so heavily rooted in nature, any opportunity to be in nature, be with nature, and to have it, you know, imbue me with its nourishing vibe, I'll take it.
And this is a pilgrim's way, for those who don't know. It goes from Winchester to Canterbury. It's how many miles long?
So the route we're doing is approximately 140 miles long. You can go on a route along the south coast, and that's 250 miles. And of course, there is a wild debate about which one's original or not. But the one we're doing, 140 miles, across the North Downs, is regarded as the original route.
And obviously it was a pilgrimage route, you know, back in the Dark Ages, I imagine. I don't know what the actual origins are. Can you tell us about that?
I don't know a lot about the origins. I read a bit about it, about Thomas Becket, for example. I'm not the person to ask that question. You know, you need to find someone who knows their history better than I do.
But actually, you don't really need to know, do you?
No.
I mean, the Pilgrim's Way exists like many other long-distance paths exist. And, it's all about taking a pilgrimage, isn't it? And actually going out, getting out of your head, getting out of your life, and going off on a journey.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's one of the key changes today with pilgrimage is that, you know, it doesn't matter if you're religious or not. If you are, fine, and if you're not, that's fine. If you're philosophical, that's fine, and if you're not, that's fine. If you are spiritual or not, it's fine. Clearly, there are certain elements to it that are going to be beneficial to you regardless. So the health factor, right? You know, fresher air, the effect of being in nature, as well as things such as emotional well-being. So sometimes this incredible vista will flop out in front of you, and you know, you're frequently dumbfounded and you just stop walking and gawp at it, to meeting someone who has a chat with you for 15 minutes, like the old guy at Kingsworthy Church a few miles back. So for me, even if you think I just want to go for a long walk, that's all it's about, you will be nourished in so many ways.
So I walked to the end of the leg today and then parked the car and walked back so that I met you halfway, and
That gave me the opportunity to sort of scout out a few places. And we've just walked down through a very lovely copse. And when I walked through it originally on the way to meet you, I thought, this has got a really nice energy about it. And yeah, you kind of felt the same.
Mm. Yeah, stopped me in my tracks. A bit like the hill with the plough field we stopped in just outside, I think it was Alton. And we just stopped walking and stopped talking, didn't we, instantly. And I had that when I saw that copse. I looked up and I was like, wow, okay. And it was partly a visual and it was partly a sense of an energetic feeling. And of course, that's one of the great things about doing a pilgrimage, of course, is that happens to you aplenty.
It does, doesn't it? And we've had a few chats along the way when we've been recceing the route over the last few months about the energetics of the landscape and the feng shui element of that, which you know a little bit about. So, yeah, and that does that come to your mind when you're walking through a place like this?
Very much so, actually. Yeah, I've mentioned before that each year I go to Wudang Mountains in China to hang out with Master Gu. And of course it's all up and down. And as you're walking around, he'll share a nugget of wisdom with you. And when I come back to England and walk around places like this with, as Selina puts it, shapely countryside, undulating fields and so on, I don't look for it personally, but it impacts you when you see it. Yeah, and there are some very interesting things in relation to water and hills, elevations, that also tell you an awful lot about energy and how it flows and whether it's a kind of stuck tamasic energy, as they might say in, you know, Hindu Vedantic realms, or whether it flows and it's nourishing and beautiful, you know, and it's sattvic.
We're by the River Itchen. In fact, we're following the River Itchen quite a bit today. And it has a lovely flow to it, doesn't it?
It does.
And it flows through the landscape and it kind of causes a bit of a flow in our conversation as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's a lovely thing in traditional feng shui, and by this, of course, I'm not referring to the stuff in the papers and magazines, which is generic nonsense. But the ancient feng shui practice that's practiced in Wudang today, for example, as well. I'm always looking for evidence for things like that. I won't poo-poo them straight away. I'll embrace it, and I want to see evidence for it. And do you know, sometimes you can either come across as prophetic and or you can just literally see it in front of you. So one example in relation to energy flow and harmonious healing energy, abundant energy, you know, is that you have a notion of what's called the dragon's claw, and a general rough starting descriptor for a dragon's claw is a mountain or a hill, in front of which, or maybe partway up, is a dwelling, for example, a house or a palace, and then in front of it, a body of water that flows. Now, what's very, very interesting, I find, is whether it's ancient Chinese palaces and temples in Wudang, or monasteries and abbeys on the Pilgrim's Way in England, next time you're there, notice where the water is and notice where the elevations are. And so, for example, abundance, one form of abundance, of course, is wealth, financial wealth. Not something I'm really interested in personally, but it's one of the easiest ones to spot in the English countryside. So often you will see a hill with a very large, ornate, old or modern, expensive building, house, a mansion, and then flowing water in front. And you'll notice we've been walking through a lot of that around here. And I don't think it's any surprise that, you know, when people have dealt with their economic pressures and they can relax, most often they want to be where it's the most relaxing and beautiful, the countryside.
And water.
And water, exactly.
Yeah.
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 Mm.
Thank you. So we're getting towards the last mile, I think, of today's leg. How are you planning on...
Hi.
Hello. A couple of cyclists going by. How are you planning on... actually stretching the route out over, you know, I think you're doing it over 2 weeks rather than three.
Yeah. Yes, so one of the nice things I think about pilgrimage is you can decide how long you take to do it. So I'm doing it in 2 weeks. And the way I've designed it is the second week will be easier than the first because, of course, I'll be more fatigued by then. And so, approximately speaking, it's 6 or 7 miles in week two per day with one 10-mile journey, whereas this first week consists of 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-mile days. Yeah.
I should point out, you are carrying your world on your back, aren't you? I don't know. Did you weigh your pack?
I didn't weigh it, but I have done a good job of keeping it really minimal. But yeah, exactly. I'm going to feel it in a few days, absolutely.
And part of what we were talking about a moment ago that inspired me to get the voice recorder out was the connection between pilgrimage and suffering.
Yeah. Yeah, so at one point I was saying I was considering spending 3 weeks doing it and just doing an average of, say, 6 miles a day to make it really sedate. But there was part of me that didn't want to do that, and it's not because I'm religious and it's not because I'm seeking spiritual experiences or I'm a bit perverse in some way. It's that I want the first week to be quite arduous for me, and one of the reasons for that is an awareness that part of the point of pilgrimage for a lot, not all people, and even more going back hundreds of years, was that it was about suffering in a way, meaning physical endurance eventually leads, of course, to physical suffering. And what's interesting is often in life as well, let alone on a pilgrimage, it's when you're in the eye of fatigue or suffering that you often have the greatest spiritual realizations. You know, and so again, I'm not seeking those, but I thought I do want to have to work a bit on this first week because it's one of the reasons why you become alive as a human being, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Well, we're climbing up a hill now, so I wouldn't say this is suffering on day one, but I am thinking. By day 10, a hill like this could be quite challenging, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's all right. That's, again, that's part of what it's about for me. I think in this day and age, you know, on a very broad level, a meta level, one of the biggest reasons why we've got so much unhappiness in the world is because despite an abundance of riches in many forms, you know, the greater percentage of people are still, you know, miserable to, you know, quietly feeling anxious. And I think one of the reasons for that is because we've become too comfortable. And I've often said, actually, that one of the most dangerous places to be is a comfortable place.
Well, pretty soon, I think we'll be in a comfortable place.
Yeah.
And maybe having a drink or two. So yeah, thank you for your words today as we start the journey, and yeah, we'll carry on a little bit tomorrow.
Splendid. Thank you.
Thank thank you very much for persevering with some of the dodgy sound on that recording. Hopefully day two will be a little bit better. So, yeah, there's going to be another episode, which I will make quite quickly because I'd like you to be able to follow the journey and catch up with what goes on day two fairly quickly after you've listened to this. And then, I will go back probably just to do the last day with him and walk into Canterbury and just get reflection on the whole journey. So thanks for listening, and yeah, we'll be back soon.